Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good. And all the time, we also know that God has called the church through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, with three commandments that sum up all of the Scriptures. We're going to talk about that today as we go into our sermon, because we're going to be looking at what is God's expectation of us. And in these three commandments, we're going to find they are God's expectation of us. But it's an amazing journey to take, because we have talked about this many times. I've done sermon series on love God, love others, and go. And y'all probably thought I did an exhaustive thing on it, right? What are we doing going back here? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I have not touched on what we all should know about loving God, loving others, and going. Because yes, there are parameters inside which we have to understand that. One of them is simply defining the word love. Can I get an amen, church? Because it's not love the way the world draws love. It is holy love, the love of God, and what that looks like. But when we look at what are God's expectations, Pete challenged me. I gave him eight scriptures, and he said, are you going to get through this in one sermon? And I said, yes, I most certainly will. So I have 38 and a half minutes, so here we go. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. One of the things that we need to understand is that if God is going to talk to us, He's going to talk to us in a manner that begins very close to where things start for all of us. And remember, as we see what God is doing, we need to understand that He brings this to us as He begins to define things at the beginning. Well, where is the beginning? Was that back with Adam and Eve? No, Adam and Eve walked with God. They were so close to God that they understood a lot of this. But as time passed, we needed to be taught again. How many of you realize that you can be taught something when you're young, but as you get old, you kind of forget some of that stuff? How many of you remember algebra from high school? Yeah, I forgot that stuff as soon as I got out of the classroom. Okay? You know, I can remember going to school, and I would remember something long enough to regurgitate it on a test. And done with that thing, I ain't never using it again. But God says that's not the way it's supposed to be in His paradigm, the paradigm of God. So from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, thus saith the word of the Lord. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you might multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of our fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourselves that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. When we hear these words, when we read these words, I want to remind everybody, God here is setting up the house of Israel to go into the promised land. Can any of you see some parallels to what's happening to the Heart of Christ Church today? This was prophesied over us 12 years ago. 12 years ago, the Lord spoke these words to us. And I know a lot of people didn't believe it because that's impossible, that can't happen. It's happening. Because God loves us so much, He is preparing a way for us. But our love to Him has to be the same type of love, unconditional, that we surrender to Him. He spoke here of that love and just what it means, and that we need to teach our children and our children's children and on, lest we forget, because all of a sudden we get fat and happy and we think we did something. Let us remember, not one of us is able to do what is coming for this church. None of us is able to do what is coming for you in this life when you walk in the expectations of God, loving Him, loving others, and going with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because these expectations are far greater than you think. You see, we serve a triune God. Can I get an amen? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The first expectation is laid out for us. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 7. We're going to read 1 through 13. From chapter 7 in Deuteronomy, 1 through 13. When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and hew down their asherim and burn their graven images with fire. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out of a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord is your God. He is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness which he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine, your oil, and increase your herd and the young of your flock in the land which he swore your forefathers to give to you. When we walk in the love of God, loving him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our strength, we are honoring the expectation of God the Father. God the Father is telling us, this is what I want more than anything else. The Israelites thought it was about doing something, doing the commandments. God says, love me, and your commandments will work in you. Because then God is in us working. Can I get an amen? You cannot love God and not do what he says. But when all you do is the physical thing of doing it and you don't turn your heart to God to love him unconditionally, you're turning away from God's expectation. God wants you. We speak this often at the offering. God says, you're the offering. Don't you get it? I created everything that is. For what? For you. This is how much I love you. So God the Father is giving us his expectation. It so amazes me because everybody's wondering, you know, what's my life all about? What's God want from me? This is what he wants from you. He does not care what job you have. If you don't like the job you're in, tell him. He'll give you another one. You think I'm lying? I was looking for a job before I got this one. And I think any of you out there that work, if you work, did the same thing. And if you don't work, get a job. Because that's how God shows his great love for us. Not to be dependent upon other people, but to actually have a life and a purpose and be of good value in this world. Because when we love him and we love others and we go, we are experiencing what God expects of us. How many of us have expectations of God? Every hand ought to be in the air or you're a liar. We have expectations of God. We expect him to take care of us. We expect good things to come. We expect. I cannot wait till we get to heaven and God says to me, well, Rich, how did that work out for you? Because God wants me to look at his expectations. How many of us grew up, raised children? Didn't you have expectations for your children? Because we expected them to be good, upstanding people. We wanted them to achieve. Didn't matter to me, you know, I'm going to talk personally here because this is how I have to talk. Didn't matter to me what Russell became. We only had one child. You all know the story. And I didn't care what he became. I didn't care what he wanted to do. All I wanted him to know is I love you. I approve of you. I'm proud of you. Because in saying those things, he became a good person. As God speaks those things into our lives, aren't we going to become good people? Because you become what you hear reiterated back to you. If all you hear is negativity, if all we heard from God was you're miserable, you're implorable, you're nothing, and you ought to just fall over and end it all. Is that the kind of God we serve? No. He says, I'm here. I love you. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is light. Brothers and sisters, we know what God expects. He expects us simply to surrender this thing which is sin in us, drawing us away from him. Because God the Father wants us to understand that he loves us. He wants us to understand who he is. Matthew 22. We all know this because it's our scripture. Matthew 22. From verse 34. Matthew 22 from verse 34. There are many people out here in this world that think they have the answers, but look what happens here. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Because God the Son was honoring God the Father. Because that is God the Father all the way from the very beginning. God the Father has loved us. Have you ever wondered why the Old Testament is so big and the New Testament is so small? Because the First Testament is given to us. When you read it, if you really read it, you're going to find that it's a love letter. You talk about long suffering. How many of us loved our children through some of the darkest days of their lives, and yet we love them? Can I get an amen? God loved us through centuries, through millennia of rebellion. And He still does. But God did something because He realized we could not stay there, because we couldn't reach God's expectation because of sin. So God sent His Son, Jesus the Christ. And therefore, we see that God the Father is asking us to love Him. That's the first part. That's the first expectation. Love me unconditionally. And I am going to love you unconditionally. In fact, so much so, because I know you're not loving me, that I'm going to send my Son into the world. So Jesus came. And Jesus brought to us that love as only He knows it, because He is the embodiment of love. God the Father is love in a spiritual sense, out there teaching us all things unconditionally. But God knew we needed someone to love us right here, right now. We needed somebody. How many of you go through life and you just need somebody with skin on? Right? It's one thing to know God loves you, but it's another thing to have a person right there with you. I feel for people that don't have that someone. But we all have that someone, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He is right here for each and every one of us. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 6. Chapter 6, 27 through 38. Luke chapter 6, 27 through 38. Jesus here is preaching. He's actually teaching. This is the Beatitudes that He's bringing to us. And this is the Beatitudes from Luke. And He says to us from chapter 6, verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other. Also, and whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lead, expecting nothing, and lend, excuse me, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." Jesus here is telling us that we need to love others as we love ourselves. That is the second part of our vision, is to love God, love others. For Jesus says in the book of Matthew, if you want to turn back there, you certainly may, in the book of Matthew in chapter 22, He finishes the commandment. And it amazes me because I want you to think about what's going on here. Jesus is asked, what is the greatest command? But then He gives two from 39. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depends the whole law and the prophets. Because you see, that expectation shows us the heart of Jesus Christ. The first expectation shows us the heart of God, who loves unconditionally. The second expectation is the expectation of the Son, who loved us so much that He gave Himself for us. And we are to love others with that same expectation, to give of ourselves beyond ourselves, just as Jesus did. We're seeing the heart of God here. We're getting to understand that our triune God is showing us that He is three in one. And these three wrap something up that only He can do in and through us and into the world. And He wants our involvement. Why? Because He wants to reach other people. He can snap His fingers and make it all happen, but that's not what He wants. How do we know someone loves us? Okay, this is easy, all right? How did you know your husband loved you, ladies? Because he pursued you. Or you pursued him until he gave up. That's exactly what God is doing. God is pursuing us until we give up. Until we finally see this is love. Now I'm going to ask y'all a question. How many of you will admit before the Lord that the one that is your other, you didn't think was when you first met him? Come on, let's get real. We had to grow into. How many of you are still growing into your relationship with your spouse? For some of you out there, it is over. Amen, ladies. And I don't mean that, you know, praise God, it's over. No, I mean the fact that your significant other, your husbands, aren't here. And you miss them, don't you? Yeah. There's a longing for them. How do you think God feels when we go astray from Him? How do you think Jesus feels when we turn our back on Him? It's that same way. It's as if someone's died and gone. But the awesome thing is, in the passing, when we leave this life into the next, if that person left in Christ, you know where they are. And you're going to see them again. And that's a guarantee to us. And that is a guarantee given unto us through the love of God. Because Jesus said, love others. Go and love others. Love others. Love others the way God has loved you. God the Father is saying, come to my love. Come to my love. Come to my love. Love me back. The Son is saying, love others in the same manner. And then the Holy Spirit speaks. Then the Holy Spirit speaks. It's the third command. We have a triune God. Do you think one of them's going to speak and not the other two? No. They're all going to speak. They're going to speak into each and every one of our lives because God cannot disagree with Himself. And each of them plays a part. The first one shows us what love is. The second one teaches us to go out with it and love others in the same manner, selflessly, just as He did, and gave Himself up on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood. He's not asking us to shed our blood, but He's asking us to shed ourselves, our stuff, and love Him and love others in the same way. Is it going to hurt? Do you think the cross hurt Jesus? We know it did. We know it did. But He went willingly. Nobody forced Him. What did He tell them? Don't you realize I could call 10,000 legions of angels? What was He telling them when He said that? He could end all life on earth in the blink of an eye. But He didn't do that. Because His love was that great, He went to that degree. And that's what God wants of us. That's His expectation, that we take it as far as we can. Now, I'm going to stop you there for a moment because we need to say this. Does that mean that we become enablers? No. We enable people to good, but we do not enable a person to continue in their stuff. Can I get an amen? We know right and wrong. We know that if you are truly walking in the love of God, you're going to walk away from that stuff that is hurting you. And it may be hard, and you may need some people to walk with you. That's where your church is here for. That's what we're here for each and every one of you. You may not think we are, but I'll guarantee you, we have remote members that are calling me on a constant basis, and they get Pastor Rich. And I will walk with them as long as they need me to walk with them. And I think each and every one of us understands that too, don't we? How many of us are taking care of someone right now? How many of us are loving someone that just doesn't seem to fit in? But yet we know if they find the love of God, they're more than going to fit in. They're going to be conformed to Him. Can I get an amen? Amen. And we continue on. But how do we do that? Are we the ones who can do that? This is the amazing part, because we all think this is what God asked. This is His expectation. Oh my gosh, how am I going to be able to do this? I can't love unconditionally. I can't love that person that hates me. You know, I got people that I work with that I don't even want to talk to. How do we do it? This is the amazing part. Because remember what Jesus said, I shall not leave you alone. I shall not leave you alone. Because He knows we can't do it. Because this is God's expectations. This is God's expectations. How many of us can aspire to God's expectations? He's holy. How many of you are holy? Yeah. No, not one. For no one seeketh God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know the Romans road, amen, church? Because we all admit it. But God has not left us alone. He's given us something. In these promises, God has given us something. And I hope you understand what it is. Because this last one truly is the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28. It's the third command. We all know it. We all know it. Matthew 28, beginning in the 16th verse, because I want us to understand when did this happen? What was going on here? What is the setup to this? Because Matthew puts this in here, and it really doesn't have a timeline. It's Jesus rises, and then all of a sudden, we get this great commission. Well, when did this happen? What was going on? Because now we'll begin to understand that if we are going to do these three commands, only God can give us the ability to do those three commands. And this is what He says from 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Who gets worship, folks? God alone. Amen. Do you think they thought He was God? They knew He was God. Pardon me, I'm preaching. They knew He was God. And here He is. And they want to hang on to Him. Because now they know He's God. Because He came back from the dead. And He's telling them the secrets of the kingdom, and they're finally beginning to understand a little bit of it and realizing just what's going on. And now all of a sudden, Jesus tells them this. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now He was getting ready to leave. What do you mean you're going to be with us? What? You just came back from the dead and now you're going to go again? What on earth is going on? Talk about a yo-yo experience. How many of us like the ups and downs of life? This one that they were following and had all their hope in died and smashed it all. Now He's risen again and woo-hoo, here we go. Now it's going to start. And He says, I'm getting ready to leave again. But you're going to go. How do you think they felt? They probably thought, what the hell? Huh? How many of you feel like you're capable of doing this thing that the church is supposed to do? I know I'm not. I can remember when the Lord called me into ministry. I said, you ain't talking to me. How about it, Brother David? I talk to pastors all the time. We get together, we talk, we meet. Every one of us knows we're inadequate. It is only by the grace of God go I. How many of you know pastors that get big heads about themselves? And the next thing you know, they've fallen. We all have to keep short accounts. Can I get an amen? We got to love God. We got to love others. But then we got to go. How are we going to go? What's going on here? Oh, Lord, you know... How did this take place? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. We are going to be in chapter 24. You know, it's hard turning pages in a Bible with a bum thumb. You don't realize how much you depend on both of them. Well, I tell you, don't bite fingernails. No, that's not what happened. Anyway, Luke 24, beginning in 45. I got to turn one more. From 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." You see, Jesus told them to go. He said, but you need to wait. You need to wait until the one comes who's going to give you the power to do what you need to do. How many of us like to do all this stuff in our own strength? We like the accolades, okay? We want people to see that, looky how good I am. I'm guaranteeing you right now, I do not ever want you to see how good I am, because I am no good. I know Rich Stubbs. I grew up with him. I know where he has come from. But praise God, Rich now knows where he's going. And there's a direction. And I can't make it alone. I can't make it in my own power. So I have to stay fast. I don't know whether y'all saw what took place up here before we began today. There were four men standing up here in a holy huddle. Yeah, they were praying for your pastor. I need those prayers. I need to understand that I do not go in my own strength. But I have to rely on the strength of the Lord. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything until God tells me to go, until He sets me free, until He empowers this thing to happen. What do you think is going to happen today? We're going to make a vote here in a little while, and things are going to move. Ooh, looky what we did. How much happened in the background that none of us had anything to do with? All we're doing is seeing what God is getting ready to do, and we're saying, okay, let's go. Brothers and sisters, this is not about us. It's about Him. He is the only one who can get us going, because He's the one that prepares the way. He's the one that we need to wait on. How many of us want to get out there and do all this stuff before God shows up because we think we can handle it? How's that work for you? Yeah. I'm telling you, I didn't think this was an illustration until I started going over my sermon last night, and it was like, thank you, Lord. Each and every one of us needs to understand we need to wait. Wait on Him. Who? Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts. Chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Through 11. From verse 3, thus saith the word of the Lord. To these who, the apostles, He also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they came together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it this time, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a crowd received him out of their sight. And they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going. And behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." How many of us find ourselves doing that? We're looking around and we see God doing something and we're just standing there like. We need a kick in the butt from an angel. Would you get going and start doing what he's telling you to do? He said, "Go to Jerusalem and wait for a little while. Don't just stand here gawking." How many of you like that word? That's about as Pennsylvania Dutch as you're going to get. Look it up. I don't even know if you'll find that in the dictionary. But we do it all the time because we don't have the power to do these things. We don't have the power to understand it. But what we do have is the power coming upon us. And we understand that from chapter 2 of the book of Acts, that they were all in the upper room one day, and it was the day of Pentecost. And on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent forth, and it rested upon them as tongues of flame, tongues of fire, representing the holy fire of God, the power of God to do all things. You see, when we look at who we are, when we look at our vision and our mission, transforming the lives of others to the heart of Jesus Christ, the first life that has to be transformed is whose? Ours. And then we can begin to help bring that truth by loving God, loving others, and going. That is invoking the very name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is what he gave us in Matthew 28. Teaching them to obey everything, baptizing them in his name, and going out into the world. How do we go out into this world? How do we do these things? By the power of the Holy Spirit. God's expectation of us is that we will acknowledge him, hang on to him, be like his Son, the image of perfection, and we will go in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity wants to walk with you all the days of your life. That's the expectation God has for us. Will you submit yourself to him who is our life, is our being, is our sustenance, is our provision, is our salvation? Can I get an amen? Amen? Because when we do, he will open up all things to us. But we don't walk in these things with the definitions of the world. We walk in them in the definitions of God. Through his Bible, he has taught us all these things. There are so many places that don't believe it. Is it a wonder? I'm going to say something harsh here. And God forgive me. I don't mean to offend anybody, but the truth offends people. Can I get an amen? Amen. God has said he will drive out the evil before us. We're getting ready to walk into a land where there is nothing in front of us but good. And isn't it amazing that God is the only one who is good? Yes. Yes, dear friends, we have learned something here, and I hope it has been impressed upon your heart. When we walk in these three commands, we are literally evoking God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in all that we are and all that we do. And when we do, God cannot but bless us. We don't do it because of the blessing, but we do it because of the love. And from the love comes the blessing. Do you ever wonder why the greatest things that have happened in your life happen with the people that you love? Because when you give yourself wholly, it's amazing how holy God shows up and truly, truly moves in your life. Each and every one of us today has been placed here at this time. God the Father's expectation is for us to love Him. Jesus' expectation is to do what He did, love others. And the Holy Spirit's expectation is to go. But go in His power. Wait for Him until it's time. But then when it's time, it's remembering you go with Him. Not ahead of Him, not behind Him, with Him. And He will prepare all things before us. Do you understand now a little bit deeper about what it means? Who we are, and in evoking God's will for our lives, His expectations in all that we are and do, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You that You have loved us, that You have given us these expectations. And Lord, they're expectations that You are the one who meets, not us. All we have to do is come to You, and You will teach us to love You. You will teach us to love others, and You will empower us to go. You are the epitome of Your own expectations. In life, our expectations are we want others to do, but Your expectations are what You're going to do in and through us. And all we have to do is submit, and You do the work. So, Father, do Your work. Jesus, do Your work. Holy Spirit, do Your work. And may You be glorified. May You be exemplified. May You be our God, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.